Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Joining you here tonight, it's Ian
and Jay Noon.
And Jay is with us here. Last week, Jay, when you were on the show, we got in depth into the trial that happened.
That's right.
The show trial, maybe the sham trial, whatever you want to call it. It was last week. It was actually same day as the show that you were on last week, Thursday, and it's been a week since then now. The verdict came through over the weekend, as I understand it.
Yep.
The man in the robe decided to issue his verdict later on. And while I was optimistic, I was optimistic given that he said he was going to take it under advisement. And I've seen a lot of times where a judge taking a case under advisement means they're going to issue a not guilty verdict later. But unfortunately, that turned out to not be the case here, correct?
Yep. And he wrote sort of a detailed verdict, too, and I forgot to bring that with me. In fact,
I'm surprised about that. That's interesting.
I will we'll get it and print it up here.
Okay.
I think I got it digitally, and we can read that, too.
I'm curious that a lot of times the judge gives a verdict. He doesn't have to explain his reasons for it, so I'm surprised that's what you received.
Yeah, I'm glad he explained it, because basically what he explained is that jurisdiction was proven.
Mm-hmm.
That the state had jurisdiction and that all elements of the charge have been satisfied without a doubt.
Wow.
And even
the child, quote unquote, child endangerment charge,
right.
Even though the officer in the case who was on the scene claimed you had him admit that the child was not in danger.
Yep. Yeah, those words came right out of his mouth.
So, like, how does that possibly mean that they've met the elements of the case?
Well, also, what about jurisdiction? So, mm-hmm. in under American jurisprudence, it is, essentially, you have to, in a criminal case, there's elements. I should have the six elements written down. But anyways, there must be an injury. There must be some kind of harm or loss.
Right.
And who's
the complaining party?
A legal entity.
Yeah.
Actually, the complaining party is state. And the definition of state, we can look that up, too.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it just says the state is the District of Columbia, the United States. That's what the definition of state is, according to the New Hampshire Code, mm-hmm. in their statutory construction. I believe it's RSA 21.4, whatever. But anyways, the complaining entity is just a piece of paper in a filing cabinet. That's
right.
All the state is. And I also asked I asked the cop, what evidence he had that, the New Hampshire RSA applied, to my wife, Shallon. And he said he didn't have any evidence.
Didn't have any. I couldn't believe that they didn't object to that question either.
Right. And
they didn't, and he answered it.
And then also I asked him what evidence he had, just because you're, someone is standing on the land of the soil of the land, we call New Hampshire, that's New Hampshire code or laws apply to them. And, that was when he, mouthed to the prosecutor, help mm-hmm. me, and the prosecutor objected, and a judge overruled his objection because the prosecutor basically asked him a very similar question just before that.
Mm.
And he said, no, he didn't have any evidence. So,
right.
Evidence of jurisdiction needs to be proven. Like, so for example, you have Rahm Emanuel, and I forget the other guy's name, the guy with the 2008, he was the, I don't know if it was a prosecutor or the
attorney. He used to be the mayor of Chicago, didn't
well,
he?
Well, Rahm Emanuel, but there was another guy who did a similar thing. So Rahm Emanuel says that they couldn't go after the banks and the cartels because they couldn't prove jurisdiction. They didn't have all the elements of the crime, even though these guys committed all these crimes. With the 2008 financial crisis, the prosecution was like, well, we can't go after all these bankers because we can't fulfill all the elements of the crime. But what happens is the bankers, you know, and the government people, they're all, you know, hanging out in Jeffstein's Island together all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on Jeffrey Epstein's Island, I said Jeffstein, and, you know, so, and they're all members of, you know, the same bar association. They're all, which is basically a, you know, an employees union for lawyers, and they're all going to the same golf courses and hanging out and partying on the same yachts. So, you know, they just selectively enforce all these laws.
Sure.
But when you're someone that has, you know, New Hampshire Health Freedom on the back of your car, and New Hampshire Health Freedom has been a real thorn in the side, you know, essentially to the state at, you know, at the New Hampshire level and the police locally, because, you know, how dare moms take their children to a city park while we're in a lockdown over a fake, you know, scamdemic. You know, I'm talking about Rochelle Kelly and, and, you know, and those guys who got, you know, basically arrested, had warrants put out there for their arrest for taking their kids to the park. Same exact police department and prosecutor's office, you know, put a warrant out for my, you know, wife and, you know, for the kidnapping in the car. And so everything's selectively enforced. So they're coming after us hard. And the other reason I think they're coming after us, especially with DCYF, is because so we had our courtroom story hour last night, and we did a whiteboard of everybody involved, and all the people there are like, wow, you were targeted. You know, we just started all the names of everybody that's in, you know, all the information we got, all these government bureaucrats, you know, the witnesses, the whole nine yards. And I also believe we were targeted because we have very valuable children.
Hmm.
So in the adoption world, like my son, at the time, 6 months old, good-looking, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, healthy baby boy, and a two-year-old, healthy, you know, good-looking little girl, they're worth like $50,000 a piece to an adoption agency.
Really?
And so if you want to, like, go, you know, adopt a kid, you can go get all of the, basically, you know, kids that have all kinds of issues, like they, you know, they're 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, or even teenagers, and they've been getting abused and beaten, or you got, you know, kids that have, like, medical issues because, you know, the mom was a crackhead, and, you know, the kid was born with, you know, problems where they need, like, a lot of medical attention.
Not worth as much?
Well, you can just get them essentially for free if you're willing to, you know, adopt them. But for a kid that's healthy and has no issues, and especially blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, and white, those fetch a very, very high dollar amount. Like $50,000 is what I was noticing in when I was doing the research about a year ago when I was looking into this, and I wasn't really that convinced that that was, you know, the situation that was going on. But after, looking into my case a bunch this week, after knowing, you know, that the career Karen that reported this, Donna Barnett, who
works for the government.
Who works for the government.
Works specifically for the prosecutor's office in Merrimack County, which is the very same county that was bringing the charges against you.
Yeah, and we did some internet looking into her. And on Facebook, she says she's married to a guy named William Barnett that doesn't look anything like the guy Mark Barnett who testified in court.
As her husband,
which is very strange.
Weird.
So I don't know.
It's old information. Could be.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. But, like, you know, how did she marry two dudes named Barnett? Did Mark Barnett take her name, her married name?
These days it could be.
Whatever. I don't know, you know. And so anyways, I'm going to hire a private investigator, it looks like. Talk to a couple on the phone. I got to do some more fundraising for some private investigators. We got to figure this out because there's something going on. Also, there's a couple documentaries out there called, one of them is called Save the Babies. It's on band.tv. I don't think you'll find it on YouTube. There's another one called Saving Baby Cyrus. And Cyrus is C-Y-R-U-S, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, well, sometimes when I say Saving Baby Cyrus, they think I'm saying Cyprus. And Saving Baby Cyrus was about this baby that the family took out of the hospital because they wanted to keep the hospital there. And then they charged him with medical neglect. So, so there's video.
Where was this?
Idaho.
Wow.
Maybe.
That's crazy.
Might be Idaho. One of those western states right around there.
Damn.
So, so they, there's video where, like, these people are, like, rural people. They're, like, out in their ranch. And, like, just this whole, like, line of, like, you know, police cars and, you know, state troopers, sheriffs and whatever. They just show up and they're, like, we're taking the baby. We're taking it, and they just basically take the people's baby. They arrest the mom. I think they arrest the father. They bring the baby to the hospital, and they say that they arrested them from. They took the baby from medical neglect, and the and when the baby gets to the hospital, the baby is like basically discharged right away from the hospital and given to
because it was fine.
Because the purpose was they had a family there waiting to adopt the baby. So what's happening here is right now we're living the prequel to The Handmaid's Tale. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I mean,
show?
I've never seen it, but Bonnie told me a little bit about it. I think she read the book.
So The Handmaid's Tale, I watched, several years ago on Netflix. It's basically like, there was like an invasion, I guess, or an uprising within the states and... You know, Canada was considered, like, the free area, but, like, basically all of New England and down to, like, Washington, D.C. was, you know, sort of occupied by these extremist, you know, religious right-winger types. And what they were doing was they were, any of the women who were fertile were basically becoming slaves. Mm-hmm. And then the rich...
And they'd have to have babies for the infertile rich people, right?
For the infertile rich people in power. And so what's happened, and what led up to that is the fact that everybody was basically sterile. And so what's happening now is, the sperm rates are extremely low. There is the most amount of motherless women over 30 years old that there's basically ever been in recorded history in America.
Motherless women?
I'm sorry. Childless women. Motherless women. I'm
got it.
Childless women.
Okay.
I'm not operating on a whole lot of sleep.
That's all right. You're doing all right.
So anyways, so it's the highest rate of childless women that are like over 30 or 35, in America
their
right
time's
now.
Time's running out.
The sperm rates are are the lowest they've really ever been. They've been falling off.
Right.
And then we have this whole culture in America of this gender dysphoria, whatever going on.
They're saying that the Generation Z, it's like one out of six, maybe more. It's at least like one out of six. Gen Zers are identifying as LGBTQ plus whatever the rest of the letters are. So you're starting to see a whole lot more
and plus means pedophile, I believe. At least according to Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum, they actually, I'm not going to go into that right now, but their declines are on birth is on a major decline right now.
Yeah, it's not at what they would call the replacement rate. We've talked about Japan. They've got a lot worse there than here in the United States.
And
the trend is in the same direction, wherein I think it's the average family is having less than two kids in the United States. I think it's like 1.8 or something like that.
Yep.
So not quite to the point of replacement, which means that the population will shrink over time if it continues in this direction. I think Japan's like 1.3 or something like that. I'll see if I can pull up the numbers.
So basically the LGBTQ community, for obvious reasons, because they're considered like non-breeders. In fact, I know, a lesbian couple that, is kind of friends with me, and they jokingly refer to like me and my wife as breeders, and, which is fine. We don't care. But anyways, they're, because we are. We're in the Breed 'em for Freedom program. And one thing I got to say, all my close friends, most of my close friends are, they got a bunch of kids. I mean, for example, last Tuesday, we had a bunch of kids over the house and families. And there was, four moms there that had 3 to 4 kids. For example, each, which is really great. And, those moms are, I'm always thanking people who got, kids and families for keeping things going. But anyways, healthy children are extremely valuable in the adoption marketplace. And it is social workers that work in and run these adoption agencies. So I'm thinking with the, you know, health freedom thing on the car, basically we were identified as free staters. And we have this history of Concord police, attacking free staters, attacking health freedom people. You know, you got, J.R. Hole, for example. They basically, you know, wanted to round up his, you know, four kids, which are basically, I believe, are all teenagers or maybe, you know, a little younger than that, some of them.
Yep.
And, you know, over
to punish him for being a critic of DCYF.
Yeah, and he was been out speaking out against DCYF, you know, long before, you know, for years, and a lot of people have, and so have I. Speaking out against the state in general, and then you got, you know, the New Hampshire Noble Nine. They were, you know, and you know, pushing back against the federal money for the mandates. These guys were all arrested. You know, all people who, you know, there's not a single affidavit that exists that they hurt anybody.
All right, hold that thought. Yep. I got the statistics here, and it's not what I thought it was. I thought the number was births per family being less than two, and that is not what they're measuring. They're measuring births per women, which in theory could be extrapolated to births per family, presuming the woman stays in the same family, but that's not necessarily what they're looking at here.
I know many women that are my age, I'm 43 or thereabouts, that have children from... four, five men.
Yes, no, that's
a lot of that going on.
So
all on welfare, yeah. Pretty much.
Right, so we're not measuring per family here. The number is 1.66 per 2021's numbers. So that's the most recent, apparently, number. As far back as 2007, it was 2.1. per woman, so 2.1 children per woman is now 1.66. Back in 1961, it was 3.6. So it's gone down quite a bit since that time.
So, and we got to get back to the, you mentioned Japan is happening in Japan, and mm-hmm. in a minute, remind me, I got some commentary on that. So anyways, I believe we were targeted because we have these high-value assets that the state has been able to easily acquire from people in the past. So in these documentaries about child protective services and the child trafficking and the child sex trade and all the children that just disappear that are in custody of child protective services, like the amount of children that disappear that are in custody of DCYF is alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, so with DCYF, nobody has access to any of these records because everything's sealed because it's all minors.
Right.
They have a whole separate family court, which technically isn't even really a court.
It's not public, that's for sure.
It's not public. It's not a court. They have ex parte hearings. The order that was, you know, used to try to literally take my kids away was an ex parte order. Nobody had any access to it, and it was full of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went and they got a contempt charge. And the order doesn't even name me as someone who's ordered to do something. It didn't name my wife. It named a police officer who was supposed to, like, you know, do this assessment, they call it. And,
right.
and this assessment also, if you do in Save the Babies, they talk about how the federal government gives like a $4,000 to $6,000 paycheck. It's not clear exactly how much money, but it's different in different, you know, jurisdictions for each time DCYF does an assessment on a family. And then they get like a big chunk of money when DCYF does removes a kid from the family. They get like another several thousand dollars the federal government gives them. And then they get a big chunk of money each month from the federal government for these kids being in the custody of the state.
So DCYF came at you guys a little while ago.
About a year ago.
Yeah, and they tried to come there with this supposed order, and you didn't let them in.
Right.
You confronted them with a video camera.
Yes.
They brought police with them, but ultimately you did not. They wanted to actually interview your two-year-old, I think, at the time,
alone.
Privately.
Yep.
Thankfully, you declined
right.
that particular offer, and a lot of people will just do whatever it is they're told, and
right.
they get themselves deeper and deeper and deeper into this system. But you refused, and they seemed to back off, but then these criminal charges... came at your wife. And so what I want to know is, and maybe you've already, I'm sure you've already considered this, Do you think DCYF is just trying another route here where they're saying to themselves, all right, well, they won't let us in voluntarily, so we'll bring a criminal charge of child endangerment against, in your case, Shallon, your wife.
Yep.
If she's found guilty, and she has been at a bench trial, but you guys get to go and appeal to a jury,
yep,
should you wish,
I believe
you're doing
today.
It. So you have another shot at this, but let's say the jury comes back with a guilty. You know, worst case, right?
Yep.
Now, you know, odds are they're going to probably come back with a hung jury, hopefully, maybe even a not guilty. So a guilty is a hard thing to get, but it could happen. So let's say the jury comes back with a guilty. Does that mean DCYF now has another arrow in their quiver to say, well, the people are saying that Shallon is a child endangerer, and so therefore we should get to take the baby? Do you think they're going to try that?
They might try that, but we'll back up just a hair. So back to that.
Because you haven't been found guilty, but she has.
Right. And that's a clear kangaroo court. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the judge doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, based on his decision. And we're going to straighten this judge out. I'm going to have him sanctioned. And we're
going to. How are you going
to
do that?
We're researching how to do that. But we're going to
file. There's a judicial conduct committee, I think is what it's called. It's all just another bunch of judges.
Right.
So you'd have to convince the judges that one of their buddies has done something wrong.
We have real clear stuff that we're putting together to convince based on the jurisdictional issues that were brought up. The fact that the evidence in a court is that there was no evidence of jurisdiction is the bottom line. None whatsoever. You know, just you go on Free Keen. You know, on Odyssey and watch the video. You can watch that.
Yeah, it's there now. Yep. If you go to freekeen.com, you'll see the link to the video there, and you can watch the full arraignment, the full attempt of the prosecutor to try to cut a deal outside the courtroom, and the trial itself. So it's over a three-month period.
You can fast-forward it to the two-hour mark and see where the cop, basically right in that area where the cop answers the questions, when I ask him about, you know, injured party, damage, loss, of course, if the RSA applies, and, you know, just because you're standing on the land we call in New Hampshire, do the laws and code apply? All I want is the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been listening to Mark Stevens talk about this for years, and, you know, he's right on. So,
they can't provide the evidence.
Right. So, in order for DCYF, another thing, too, is I'm looking for whistleblowers specific to New Hampshire, and I want to mention that a few times during this show, especially with DCYF. I have found one whistleblower. I'm not sure if she's going to even talk to me, but I have found one. But anyways, when DCYF wants to do this assessment, so DCYF provides a service. And another thing the judge said is DCYF is not part of the state under Brady. I haven't got into. He said that in the case when I started bringing that up in the beginning. About DCYF and there's, you know.
Oh, and Brady is for discovery requirements or something.
Yes,
or
maybe. Well, okay. Yeah, that is that. But I don't know if something else, you know, has to do with that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yes. So, anyways,
what does that mean? Does that mean they're not part of the state?
I don't know.
There's some other
non-state
actor.
I'm hoping somebody can answer that question for me.
Yeah. All right. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Jay's wife found guilty in a bench trial. They are appealing. That means this will go to a full jury. We don't have the trial date yet at this point, but that's coming. And there's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts as well on the child snatching situation in America. More coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA News Update. The smoke from Canadian wildfires is slowing flights into the tri-state area airports. The FAA says smoke causes more delays in fog or rain.
These systems work well through water droplets, but can be less effective through solid particles such as smoke and ash.
The FAA says air traffic controllers use additional safety measures during smoky conditions. More than 20 teenagers are hurt after a deck collapsed at a park in southeast Texas. The collapse happened this afternoon at Stallman Park. Officials said 21 victims between the age of 14 and 18 were taken to the hospital, including five by helicopter. However, none of the teens sustained life-threatening injuries. Mortgage rates are down for the first time in 3 weeks. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is averaging 6.71%. It's down from 6.79% from the week before. Dave Collins, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
For 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160, Ian and Jay in the studio here tonight. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. We do have our social media platform over at social.freetalklive.com. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there, as well as some of the hosts. Our very own Nobody got his first complaint today. I think it was actually, maybe it was yesterday, but what I mean by that is somebody on another Mastodon server complained about one of Nobody's posts claiming he was quote-unquote anti-vax. And so that's the first time that actually any of our hosts have received a complaint. Of course, what do we do with complaints? Absolutely nothing. Because it is our server, and we do what we want on our server. And other people on other servers, if they don't like it, well, that's too bad. Because we're not obligated to follow their server's rules. So I wish I could turn off complaints entirely, because it's just a waste of time to have to even see them come in. But we do get to find out what people don't like on other servers about our server. And this is one of the benefits of having a decentralized social media network, as they do with Mastodon. There are literally thousands of servers. Some of them house a bunch of Karens. And and others, like ours, are more free speech oriented. Now, you don't get total free speech because I don't want people spamming the server. You know, don't bring your robot advertisements to our server. You're not going to make it. We're going to screen you out, and you're not going to be in there. But otherwise, you can pretty much express yourself about whatever you want over at social.freetalklive.com. Jay, we got more, I'm sure, on your case with DCYF, but we've also got some folks on the line that want to comment. So let's go to the phones and to your calls and thoughts with Andrew watching us on Twitch. Go ahead, Andrew. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I'm the kind of guy that I work for myself. I reupholster furniture. And
thank you for your service.
I don't take stuff that I don't earn, and I'm just finding it harder and harder to be a person that kind of lives by certain principles. And I don't really know how to explain it, but I feel like the world is getting harder and harder for people like me that just want to try to survive on my own and not take from people. And I don't really know how to explain it, but I feel like I work really hard to not be a burden on people, but I feel like that leaves me in the dark. I feel like I basically have secluded myself because I don't want to live the way the world tells me to live.
Sure.
And I just want to get your opinion on how to cope with that, I guess.
Move to New Hampshire.
Where do you live, Andrew?
Well, I live in Tennessee, but I've moved around. I've lived in Seattle for years, and, I mean, I've moved around the country, and I've traveled across the country, and I've seen a lot of things and done a lot of things, but I just want to do for myself. Well, you know, I don't need anybody for me.
Well, see, here's the cool thing about New Hampshire. So, like, for example, during 2020, the height of the scamdemic, my kids didn't see anybody wearing a mask because we had a community of people who aren't part of this, you know, cult zombie algorithmic slave, whatever was going on. And it just they didn't mask, you know, they didn't mandate, like, you know, pretty much none of my friends got the vaccine. None of my friends got vaccine injured. And we had hangouts. We had a big pig roast. 120 people showed up for it at our place. We had play dates every week with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
New Hampshire has just a really, really good community. And being someone who, like, you have your own business, you're an upholster, I'm sure there's many other things that you could use your upholstery skills, I guess you would call it, to do whatever you probably want.
The reason I'm good at upholstery is because I've done other things before. So actually the upholstery stuff is like secondary in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more, I don't know, I just love doing it. I love the community you can build around it. And I guess I like hearing what you have to say, Jay, specifically because you're in that world where you're using your hands and you're, like, doing things where you create things that are actually practical. And I guess for me, you know, I'm trying to build my own community where I am.
How's it working out?
Well, it's, I mean, I'm a loner anyway, so, I mean, it works good to a point, but, you know, I don't have anybody to shoot ideas off of.
That sounds really tough. I wasn't a loner when I lived in Florida. I mean, I certainly had some friends, and most of them were freedom-friendly people. But I've got so many people here that I know in New Hampshire. There's so many social opportunities. There's so much to do with that community, the community of libertarian, voluntarist, like-minded, liberty-loving, anarchist types here in New Hampshire, that you can actually be picky about which events you want to go to.
Yeah, because there's like two every day.
Because you can't do them all.
There's like four every weekend.
Yeah, you have to be picky by the nature of, you know, the beast. And so you're literally, I mean, even if you're a loner, you can still get out there and you can meet other people who you get along with. There's a lot of different kind of, you know, clubs and groups and things like that that are going on here. You don't have to build the community. That's one of the nice things here is, you know, a loner, as you describe yourself, trying to build a community of people of like mind is going to be a almost futile task. It's going to be very, very difficult to start that from zero. We got 20 years in on this thing here. We got two decades of thousands of freedom-minded people who have moved here as part of the Free State Project. So, you know, we've got that base. We've got that community. We've got the market days that are going on every, what is it, once a month?
Every
all
weekend.
Over the place.
There's market days.
Yeah.
Would you say that if somebody moved to New Hampshire with some kind of skill or the willingness to work, they could probably make it happen?
Yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you're willing to work in New Hampshire, there are plenty of people who are willing to hire. I mean, even
well,
right
you
now.
Need people to reupholster furniture?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't say for sure if you know what sort of jobs are available, but I know there's a lot of jobs available.
So I think, yes, reupholstering furniture, you could certainly do something. Can you reupholster car seats?
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I'm self-taught, and I'm on a five-year plan where I do 5 years of furniture and then 5 years of car upholstery slash boat upholstery.
Well, if you're in a car and a boat upholstery, I can tell you that's going to be probably a good business, especially the car upholstery going forward, because what's happening in basically here in America, the automobile fleet is the oldest it's ever been in history. I think the average car is like 14 years old on the road
really?
Right now. Yeah.
Wow.
A couple years ago, it was 12. But, you know, you go look, like, the average price of, like, your entry of a car is, like, $46,000, you know, just a little, you know, piece of junk car, you know, the bottom-of-the-line economy cars. You know, you can't hardly buy them for less than $30,000, from what I understand. And, like, you know, the type of pickup truck that I use for my work is $100,000 today to go buy like an F-350 crew cab four wheel drive diesel. There's like 90 to 100 grand.
So you keep the old one running.
Yeah, my trucks are 30 years old.
Okay, but can I get one piece, just one good word of encouragement from the both of you? And this is where I'm going to leave off of the conversation. To somebody that's just out in the world, that's a freedom loving person. You know, just out here, like out there on their own, like what is both of your best advice you can give that person?
You mean besides move to New Hampshire and join the largest community of
yes,
liberty-minded
yes,
people?
Yes, just somebody out here that can't just snap their finger and change their life, you know?
Well, I mean, nothing worth doing is easy. So it's never a snap of the finger to just uproot yourself and migrate somewhere else. And you've moved around. You know that that's the case. I wish I could be optimistic for people outside of New Hampshire, but I'm just not. I mean, if you have no support group, if you have no community of freedom-minded people, then you're going to continue to experience what you've been experiencing, which is more and more of the people surrounding you turning towards the state, turning towards dependence, turning towards welfare, obedience, you know, snitching on people. You're going to continue to see people getting poorer and poorer as inflation continues to ravage away any kind of savings or ability that they have to save, putting people behind the ball as far as their earning capacity and their lifestyle. You know, that's getting worse and worse as the value of the dollar continues to plummet. I mean, it's not an optimistic view out there. I mean, we have at least a chance here in New Hampshire, and it's still going to be tough here.
Well, I appreciate you guys for doing. And what would Jay have to say?
Go ahead, Jay.
So I just want to tell you what the social scene is like in New Hampshire, specifically with the people I hang out with and the groups. So the Free Staters. So when we go to meetups, when the parents come over to my house with their kids, when I go to Pork Fest, when I go to you know, New Movers Party, when I go to any kind of Free Stater gathering or meetup, when I ride in a car for a couple hours with my Free Stater friends, who, like, pretty much all the people I associate with, most of them are, you know, either are libertarian natives or they're Free Staters. The conversations are real. Productive conversations. We talk about how we can, you know, make the world better for our kids, how we can encourage our kids to get their dopamine hits from hard work. This is a lot of the stuff we talk about. We talk about you know, encouraging people to boycott the dollar, because basically the irresponsible parasites that make life miserable for everybody only exist because of fractional reserve banking in the fiat mm-hmm. dollar system. And also, and there's no mention of, like, nonsense like sports ball. Mm-hmm. I don't have any friends that are into sports ball. Like those, and sports ball is just a, you know, bread and circus distraction. It's, you know, it's heavily subsidized by the government. You know, all the sports ball teams are, you know, tax exempt, and, you know, and the taxpayers are, you know, forced to pay for all their stadiums and all that nonsense.
Right. And sports turns into a whole, like, material point of view. Right. You know, it's a whole, like, oh, if that's the only way you can survive in life is to be able to run down the field, then that's a bad problem to have. You know, like, and if you have no other skills than that, then that we have other problems than
and that's than part of the problem with, you know, so many of these young people, the kids that, like, have a chance to be productive and at, you know, like the jocks in you know, in the public schools. You know, they're all like, oh, I'm going to, you know, really try hard at sports ball, and I'm going to get good at sports ball so I can get drafted by a college team and get my college paid for, because everybody's sold on this college dream. And then what's happening is they, you know, they get out of college and they, you know, and they're like, well, they don't have a skill set. You know, mm-hmm. they just know how to play sports.
Can't, they can't even add. And, right. And here in Tennessee, we actually had a problem this past year. They said, I think it was like 60 or 70% of the third, because I guess they have a threshold of the public school when they let you go to the different grade. And I guess the third grade level, third to fourth grade level, is the threshold. And they said like 70% had to be held back. And if you look back at when COVID started, that would be the age group that would be affected by the whole, you know, the whole change in the education system.
And the thing is with these public schools, like you mentioned, they just keep on lowering the standards constantly,
mm-hmm.
You know, as it goes on. And here's another thing. You know, I don't know if you have any kids. I don't know how old you are. Do you have any kids?
No, I'm 36, never been married, and I don't have kids.
Okay, well, when I was 36, I hadn't been married and didn't have kids either. Now I'm 43. I got two beautiful kids. I got
I feel like you're threatening me now with kids.
I got the best woman in the world as far as I'm concerned. Like, I got all, you know, and, you know, I got it, you know, like, really good. Yeah, yeah. So like, if you got skills, like, that's the kind of stuff women are attracted to. So if you're not, like, a morbidly obese or disgusting, you know, looking man, and you have skills and you have the ability to work, you can basically go get pretty much any girl you want. And you know, within, you know, 10 years of your age, not a problem. And you should be very selective. I mean, you know, of who you pick for a woman. And if you don't want to, you know, you're not interested in that kind of stuff, that's fine. And that's another thing that's happening too, is, just like in Japan, what we talked about earlier, is like the problem with Japan is the men basically got transformed, their ideas of what a woman is has been morphed by, you know, porno, high speed internet device and porno, when the men, you know, are, you know, a young men, they're going through puberty and they're in their brain is developing, you know, essentially what they desire in a woman. And when that is happening for a young boy and they're streaming high speed porno, what they desire in a woman is a porn star, which is not a realistic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is why in Japan, the men are just not interested in women. So
I'm very much a normal man looking for a woman.
Okay.
But I will say now that it does seem like women, though, it's like flipped, where women almost look for a man that's not realistic, where it used to be the man to look for that. Now it seems like it's the opposite now.
So
where it's hard to even attract a woman because they're only interested in certain things the way the women used to complain about the men. So
the thing is there's different types of women as far as I'm concerned. That let's say the single women. So the women who are on Instagram and Snapchat and, you know, having all these fans and, you know, who are looking at all these dating apps and stuff, you don't know, you want to be anywhere near those women, because what happens is the
top 5% are the ones that get those girls.
Right. So the top 5% of dudes, because all these girls, they want the sixes. They want mm-hmm. a 6 foot tall, 6 figure income and 6 inches for some reason. that's what the 3 sixes are. So, and I listened to, I've been doing like a lot of research like the past couple of years on like this particular thing, like, you know, what's going on with women, and how to raise kids. So I've been paying attention. There's the Whatever podcast. I don't know if you heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never actually watched the full thing, but there's clips of it online, and it's just painful.
Yeah, and then you have Just Pearly Things.
Okay.
Pearl Davies, I think, is the lady's name. And so, like, they've got between Whatever and Pearl Davies and Manosphere, they're kind of, you know, explaining sort of what's happening. So with the women that are, you know, looking on the dating apps, the thing is right now the women have access to a dating pool of all of, you know, the entire world to where, you know, 25 years ago it was who's in the neighborhood and who you met in person.
Right.
And so now, yeah, or the closest thing 25 years ago was the singles ads in, you know, in your regional newspaper, or want advertiser. So now with this opportunity, what the women are doing is they're just picking the bad boys. So the bad boys are what the women are becoming attracted to, because what happened is so young girls, the same thing. When they're going through their change, their breasts are developing, they're going to menstruate, they're going to start menstruating. So at about that time, what's developing with them is their attraction to men. So these girls that are raised by dads that just aren't in the picture, or are just raised by single moms, you know, who do they have to look at, you know, as the they're going to build their attractiveness to is like Brad Pitt. Or, you know, whoever's on TV.
The funny thing is the real bad boys are the ones that are actually, like, the smart people that are, like, taking into account, like, hey, I'm a man and, you know, I gotta control myself, you know, like, I'm a real bad boy because I'm in control of my masculinity, you know, and that's what women don't understand is that, you know, a real bad boy is the man that's like in control of his emotions.
When,
you know,
when I say that women are interested in the bad boys, it's these women on the internet and on these dating apps that like 80% of them are basically hooking up and banging, you know, just randomly, you know, 5% of the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so the dudes that are, you know, 6 foot tall, that are good looking, that, you know, you can just say you make all kinds of money. Nobody knows. And they're, you know, have no problem with this hookup culture, just hooking up with multiple women. I actually have friends that have like literally a body, like guys have a body count of like 500-600 women. And it's because of the hookup apps, because basically.
Even as a man, though, like I would feel bad to be. I just couldn't even imagine that. Like, I don't know. I guess
the STD risk alone is crazy. But I will say this, Andrew. I saw somebody, as far as like dating prospects and that kind of thing, I saw a gentleman who appears to be maybe, I don't know, in his mid-30s or 40 or somewhere in that range. He migrated to New Hampshire, I think, as a part of the Free State Project. But he came from Rhode Island, so, you know, your mileage may vary. And he said the quality of women that he's been dating has increased dramatically just by moving from Rhode Island to New Hampshire.
So one of the things that we have here in New Hampshire, the reason I asked you if you had kids or a wife. So if you don't have kids or a woman, you are the and you have skills, and you know how to do stuff. You probably know how to fix it. You can change your tire, right? You could probably, you know, maybe change the universal joint on your drive shaft, you know, maybe your brakes, right?
Yeah.
So you're like,
I could probably do a lot of things.
So you're you don't have a problem just getting in your car and driving wherever you want because you can just do it. You probably.
They could be smart or dumb at the same time. I don't know.
So when you're an old man, you got to think about the future. When you're an old man, do you want to be surrounded by a bunch of young algorithmic slaves who are begging government for help? You know, and people who, you know, the addiction part of their brain is just been stimulated. You know, basically since they, you know, for 6 months old.
That's why I reupholster furniture, because it's like a very, it requires a lot of skill.
And actually, so you're reupholstering, that brings me to another point. So I do a, you know, man camp, right? I teach kids my skills. That's something you could be doing right now, is you could be teaching young people maybe some kind of apprenticeship program to where you teach people your skill, how to do this, because, you know, it's important that somebody learns your trade and that you pass it on. And it will also make you better at that, and then you are going to tremendously increase the value of the culture of the people around you. But back to my point I wanted to get to here with you about being so in 30 years and in 40 years, when you're an old guy and it's harder to take care of yourself, the one thing I really like about New Hampshire is that we are building a culture of Generation Next, of young people who, you know, the parents here are really heavily investing in their kids, especially the Free Staters, you know, the people involved with Health Freedom New Hampshire, the people who are fighting all the mandates and stuff, the red pill moms are investing heavily in their kids. And we have a lot of good nuclear families here in New Hampshire. And even like, you know, with my investing in the posterity project that I'm working on just at my house, when I have, you know, a dozen or two dozen kids show up from, you know, the neighboring area, and they're just, you know, picking grass and feeding it to cows and collecting chicken eggs and helping, you know, rake soil and stuff, those kids are all going to be able to do something. So I encourage anybody who's concerned about what's going to happen to them when they're an old man and not able to take care of themselves, you should probably try to be somewhere where the current, you know, toddlers and five-year-olds, you know, are like learning real life skills and are being raised by people who understand that the number one investment is our posterity. And this is happening in New Hampshire.
Andrew, I want to say, if you have the ability and, you know, if you're working for yourself, there's a good chance you can take some time off on your own volition. Get up to the Porcupine Freedom Festival coming up here in another, less than a week and a half, something like that. It starts on the 19th and it's going to be happening in northern New Hampshire. The beautiful Rogers Campground. Free Talk Live will be there in some form or another. I know, Jay, you're going to be somewhere on the campground doing man camp and whatever other things you're doing. Aria is going to be up there. I think Captain Kickass will be there. I don't know which other host. I think nobody's going to be back in town for that as well. So we'll have a handful of our people up there. But more importantly, there's something going to be like 2,000 plus like-minded, liberty-oriented people, probably hundreds of whom are already living here. Usually the majority of the people at Porkfest are brand new. They've never been before. It's their first time. There's a large number of people who've returned, and then there's a large number of people that already live here. So you get to meet a bunch of the people who could be your future neighbors if you can make it up here for that. If not, just see if you can make a vacation up here at some point, because there's always things going on. If you go to the Free State Project's website at freestateproject.org, they've got a calendar there of events, and it's just loaded up with things to do. You come up here, spend a week, and you can come and meet all, you know, dozens and dozens of people. So I wish you the best, Andrew. Thank you for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. We're going to bring Frank on the line in Michigan. Frank, you're on Free Talk Live.
But hey, guys, I can't help think of the irony of you guys keep telling people to move to New Hampshire for more freedom, and Ian, you're looking at probably a couple of years in prison, and Jay's wife is just convicted of child endangerment. But
yeah, kind of we can talk about that with you. Hang on, Frank. There's more coming up here in moments, because nobody said that this was going to be, you just move, and then it's a freedom. There's some work that needs to be done here.
And we're doing it.
And somebody's got to do it. We're doing it, but we could use some help. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com. including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.